Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter number 17, and I'll start a new series tonight and give you some thoughts out of here. We'll try to get through this first message tonight. Maybe we'll be able to. And that's a good thing about a series. If you don't get done with the first one, well, you can just take it over into the next one. Amen. And that's a good thing about pastoring, too. If you don't get done preaching one message, you can just preach it again the next service. Amen. And so I want to give you some thoughts tonight, and I'm probably going to talk to you a whole lot more tonight than just rear back and preaching like I normally do. And I just want to give you some things tonight. And I want to say this to you before I even start tonight. I wish that I could say that everything that I'm going to say to you tonight, that I always practice it exactly the way that I'm going to give it to you tonight. And I just say that again. I wish that I could say that I always practice it the exact way I'm going to give it to you tonight. But forgiveness is a very hard thing. Now, if you'll help me, we'll get through this a whole lot sooner and you might be able to make it to the Super Bowl. But forgiveness is a very hard thing. And it's easy to preach about. It's easy to write about. It's easy to talk about. But I'm going to tell you something, it's very hard to practice sometimes. Now, somebody say amen and help me right there. And I tell you, I seen a post, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to read to you. It popped up in my memories yesterday that I had shared. It was like 6 or 11 years ago or something other, that a preacher friend of mine said, and he said this. He said, whenever you leave the church and decide to talk about your pastor, make sure you talk about all the times he helped you all. So, and sometimes it's hard to forgive. All right, let me say it again. We're starting to get in the routine. Sometimes it's hard to forgive, but it's scriptural to forgive. It's scriptural to forgive, amen. One of the hardest things about being a preacher's kid, and I know something about being a preacher's kid because I grew up as a preacher's kid. My dad pastored a flourishing church as I was growing up, a very successful church. And one of the hardest things about that was watching people act one way towards my dad at church and then hearing them talk a completely separate way to him in other places and hearing them say things to him. But you know what the Bible says to do? The Bible says that we're to forgive. So I want to start a series tonight on that subject, on the subject of forgiveness tonight. And maybe I've got about 5 or 6 different messages that I hope the Lord will let us walk through. And maybe we can learn something out of it tonight. Amen. And I hope that you'll listen not just with an open ear, but with an open heart tonight. And can I just say this to you? I'm going to get it to your ear tonight, but it's going to take the Lord to put it in your heart. And I'm going to try my best to give you some things that He's given me as we walk through this scripture tonight, and maybe the Lord will help us tonight. All right? Let me back up and rephrase that. The Lord will help us tonight if we'll let Him. Amen. It's not maybe the Lord will help. He will help us if we'll let Him. Amen. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. The Bible said this in Luke chapter number 17, and I'll just pick up reading in verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that the offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now I'm going to tell you something. Verse number 3, and I'm just going to keep reading or I'll get bogged down. Verse number 3 is a profound verse. All of our Bible is, but you understand what I'm saying tonight. Look again what he says. He said, take heed to yourself. In other words, pay attention right here. He said, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, look what the Bible says, rebuke him. You know what that means? And again, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not careful. Go to him and say something to him. That's what it means. And then he says, this, rebuke him, and if he repent, now watch this, forgive him. Just as quick as you went to him and rebuked him, if he repents of it, that quick you forgive him for it. Amen. Then he goes on to say this in verse number 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's not your choice whether you forgive him or not. The Bible said you shall do it. Thou shalt forgive him. Well, it's already getting quiet tonight. Thou shalt forgive him. The Bible said in verse number 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That verse, a lot of times we hear it, but we never really hear it in true context. What's he dealing with? Forgiveness. And the disciples said, Lord, you need to increase our faith. Look what they said in verse number 6. And the Lord said, if he had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he think that the servant, because he did the thing that were commanded him, I trow not. Verse number 10 says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, you know the burden on my heart tonight, and you know the need of this service. God, I pray, Lord, tonight as we begin this new series on the subject of forgiveness, Lord, that you would help us with it tonight, and God, that you would do a work that only you can do. God, this is a subject that a lot of people, God, never really deal with in their life, and because of that, malice sets up and bitterness sets up, and God, there's a lot of people that's not even in church today all because of this one subject. So I pray, God, that you would help us to rightly divide it tonight. May you get glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Forgiveness is one of the clearest marks of Christian maturity and one of the hardest disciplines God calls us to practice. It's a wonderful thing to experience the forgiveness of God, but Scripture makes it equally clear that forgiven people must become forgiving people. Can I say that to you again? The Scripture makes it clear that forgiven people must become forgiving people. In other words, if Christ has forgiven us, then we must forgive others tonight. Amen? Whenever we think about this, Jesus addresses this subject directly in Luke chapter number 17. And he begins with a warning that should get our attention. He says in verse number 3, take heed to yourself. In other words, watch your heart, your spirit, your responses. Forgiveness is not primarily about the other person. Forgiveness is not primarily about the other person. It's about obedience, it's about humility, and it's about spiritual growth inside of us. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. Obedience and spiritual growth is something that we're interested in, but humility is not something that we're interested in so many times today. But forgiveness tonight is about humility, it's about obedience, and it's about spiritual growth in us as Christians tonight. I want to show you 3 things tonight, and then I'll be done. Number 1, I want you to look at understanding forgiveness. The purpose, understanding forgiveness. Now, I'll show you three things about this and we'll move on. Can I say this to you tonight? Under understanding forgiveness, there is the misconceptions concerning forgiveness. There is some misconceptions when it comes to forgiveness tonight. Think about this. Forgiveness is not the same as apologizing. Forgiveness is not the same. Saying I'm sorry is not the same thing as saying please forgive me. Can I say that again? Saying I'm sorry is not the same thing as saying please forgive me. When you say please forgive me, and I'm just going to hit this in passing, what you are saying is this: you are acknowledging that you was wrong and you're asking the other person to forgive you. So many times we say I'm sorry and we really don't even mean nothing by it. It's different when we say please forgive me. An apology acknowledges regret. Forgiveness removes the debt. Think about this. Forgiveness is not the same as apologizing. But forgiveness does not require, now listen to me, forgetting. Forgiveness does not, it's getting real quiet and still. It does not, can I just say something to you? You're not going to forget. You're not going to forget. That's the reason it's so important that we're careful what we do say to people and how we do act towards people, because we can say we're sorry all we want to. We can ask for forgiveness all we want to, and they may even grant that forgiveness, but you never forget. Forgiveness does not require forgetting. The Bible never commands us to forget. Forgetting is passive and often impossible. Forgiveness is intentional and deliberate. Forgiveness is not primarily a feeling. It's not primarily a feeling. Think about this. Many people wait to feel forgiven. But biblical forgiveness is a choice of obedience, not an emotional response. Matter of fact, the Bible, does it not remind us in Jeremiah 17, verse number 9, that our heart is an unreliable God, so it's not about emotions. So there's the misunderstanding concerning, or the misconception concerning forgiveness. But I want you to see this. There's the ministry to understanding forgiveness. What is forgiveness? The ministry to understanding it. We must understand how God has forgiven us if we're ever going to forgive anybody else. How has God forgiven us? What has God done for us? Our model for forgiveness is not human wisdom. Our model for forgiveness is divine grace. I hope you're getting what I'm saying to you. Our model for forgiveness is not some kind of human wisdom that we can think up tonight. Our model for forgiveness comes from divine grace. Listen to what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 4. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God never asked us to forgive in a way He has not already forgiven us. God didn't ask us to forgive if He hadn't already practiced forgiveness to us. If God could forgive us, if Christ could forgive us, then there is no excuse for why we can't forgive others. Can I just say that again? If, and it's not if, Christ has forgiven us, and He's saying, The model for forgiveness, the ministry of understanding forgiveness, it all goes back to the way Christ forgave us. Now note this and we'll move on. There's the means by which God forgave us. How did God do it? Forgiveness is not a feeling God has. It's a declaration that God made. Forgiveness is not just some feeling that God had. God makes a declaration. What did he say in Isaiah chapter 43? He said this, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. It's a declaration. God has said this to us. I choose not to remember your sins. God tells us we're forgiven. It's a promise. God's promises, or God promises not to remember our sin. Forgetting is passive, but not remembering is active. And God says to you, I choose not to remember what you've done. And again, church, if God can say that to us, why can't we say that to others? God deliberately chose not to bring our sins back up. Biblical forgiveness, listen to me, biblical forgiveness is a promise not to use the offense as a basis for future retaliation or treatment. You know what God says? He sets the model. God says this, those things that you've done, I've forgiven you for that, and I'm not going to bring it up anymore. Matter of fact, he says it's cast as far as the east is from the west. It's in the depths of the sea. It's blotted out like a thick cloud. I understand all of that is Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. And thank God they're washed away by the blood of the Lamb. But what he is saying is this, I'm not going to bring up what you did in the past as a retaliation against you. When you forgive somebody, you choose. If it's true forgiveness, you can I just illustrate it? How many times, husband and wives, have you had a discussion? Y'all hear me? Some of y'all have more than discussions. But if you had a discussion, and you have said, they have come back to you and said, I'm sorry. Y'all caught that, didn't you? And you said, I forgive you. And 3 days go by, and they say something, and you go, well, you know what, 4 days ago, that wasn't true forgiveness. True forgiveness, Christ models it for us, church. True forgiveness and biblical forgiveness is a promise not to use the offense against someone at a later date. Listen to me, especially married people sitting in here tonight. When your spouse comes to you and they apologize and you say you forgive them, drop it. Don't ever bring it up again. The past is the past. It's water under the bridge. Let it go. That's what forgiveness is tonight. That's what I'm preaching good. Until we understand what forgiveness truly is and what it is not, we will either excuse sin, avoid obedience, or carry burdens God never intended to bear, and intended us to bear. Biblical forgiveness begins with seeing how God forgave us, not how deeply we are hurt. So number one, understanding forgiveness, the purpose of it. Number two, I want you to see the plan, undertaking forgiveness. Now we understand what it is. How do we undertake forgiveness? What is the plan of doing this? Let me show you two, three. Number one, I want you to see this tonight. The initial statement. Note again what he said in verse number three. Take, and I know I'm preaching a little bit different tonight, but I hope you're getting what I'm telling you. Take heed to yourself. Verse 1, take heed to yourself. He's saying, be on guard. Jesus opens this teaching with a warning because forgiveness is dangerous to mishandle. It's dangerous to mishandle. He said, so be on guard. Take heed to yourself. This tells us that forgiveness requires spiritual awareness and discipline. The only way you'll ever truly forgive anybody is if you're right spiritually. It's not an emotional thing. It's not a fleshly thing. I'm telling you tonight, church, it's a spiritual thing. And you have to, I said it this morning, it goes back to Romans, you have to die to yourself
You have to die to your wants. You have to die to your feelings. You have to die to your desires to retaliate against somebody. You have to die to every bit of that and use Christ as the model example. Are you with me tonight? Think about this. This tells us that forgiveness requires spiritual awareness. So there's the initial statement, but then there's the important situation. I'm headed somewhere. The important situation. What's the important situation? Well, here it is. If thy brother trespass against thee. If thy brother. This is a very broad category. Offenses happen constantly. And this issue destroys marriages. Destroys families. It destroys churches. And it destroys friendships on a daily basis. The real question really is this, and I am not correcting the Bible. It's not necessarily if thy brother offend thee, it's when. Because the truth of the matter is this, you're going to get offended. Somebody's going to say something to you. Somebody's going to act a way towards you. You're going to be, it's 2026. You're going to get offended. I mean, there's some offended because they think there's some other, something other that God didn't even make, and they want to use a bathroom that my kids go in. And if I'm standing outside the door, it ain't happening, and it's probably going to be more than offended when I get done, just to be honest with you. It's the generation of offended. Everybody's offended today. I'm offended because of this. I'm offended because of that. You're going to get offended. Your feelings are going to get hurt. Somebody's going to look at you cross-eyed. The preacher ain't going to shake your hand when you think he should have shook your hand, but you never walk by the door to shake his hand. And before you know it, you're offended and you're sitting at home. I wish, I really, Brother Jonathan understands this, Brother Josh understands this, Brother Williams understands this. I really, really, really wish that every person sitting in this church could have the mental battle that a pastor has on Sunday morning. I really wish you could. I really do. You say, why do you let Jonathan make the announcement sometimes? Just so I can keep my mind clear for preaching. Can I tell you first and foremost what God called me to do? To preach the word. That's what he called me to do. He don't nobody fall out with me right here. He didn't call me to visit the widows. He didn't call me to visit the hospital. That's the reason he put deacons in the church. He called me to preach the word. I'm telling you something. There's a mental battle goes on in preachers' minds that you don't even have a clue about. The worst time you could say anything to a preacher is on Sunday mornings if there's something not right. Let me tell you, there's so much in his mind. And there's been so many people that got offended because they didn't think that the preacher talked to them in the manner that he should have, or this or that or the other. And the truth of the matter is, he didn't even know nothing about it. And they're out of church today, and the preacher still don't even know because the preacher's called them, preacher's asked them, but they never said nothing about it. Think about this. The important situation. If thy brother offend thee, it's going to happen. The initial statement, the important situation. Now, undertaking forgiveness, here we go. The immediate stand. This is our obligation. Can I show it to you? Look back in verse number 3. Miss Stephanie, will you give us verse number 3 back on the screen? Know what he says. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass thee, now here is our immediate stand. Here is our obligation. Our first obligation is rebuke. That's our, I'm just giving it to you straight out of the Bible. Now there is a right way and a wrong way to do this. Rebuke don't mean that you walk up to them in front of everybody and bless them out. Are you hearing me? I don't have time to preach all this, but here's what it does mean, that you take that person in private and you say, hey, listen, I just don't understand why you said this or why you done this. Can you help me understand that better? If you want somebody to go on the defense real quick, you go to accusing them of something. If you'll listen to me, I'll help you right here. You go, the best thing you can do is, hey, Brother Peyton, I love you, buddy. I really do. I thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for being able to help me any way you can. But you said something the other night, and Brother Peyton, can you help me understand what you meant by that? Just help me understand that. And you know what I'm doing? I'm rebuking him. There's a right way and a wrong way. The wrong thing to do is to go up to him and say, hey, Brother Peyton, you know what? You're a blooming idiot, man, and I don't appreciate what you said. You know what I've just done? I've lost Brother Peyton. I've lost his mama. I've lost his daddy. I've lost his siblings. I've probably lost half the church because he's kin to half the people in the church, when it all could have been handled in a whole different manner. It is our obligation, and our first obligation is rebuke. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. Our first obligation is not a pity party. Hello? Our first obligation is not explosive anger. Our first obligation is not to pick up the phone and call somebody else and ask them what they think about the situation. Can I just give you a word for that? Gossip. Sowing discord among the brethren. That's not your first obligation. Your first obligation is to go to that individual and talk to that individual. Rebuke. That's the first obligation. Rebuke him. It's to speak to him directly about the offense. I want to read you something that I read. Rod Mattoon said this: this rebuke is to be strong enough to inspire repentance. To rebuke does not mean to point out every sin, for Jesus also warns against being judgmental. Rebuke is always to be done in love and compassion, not in a censoring or judgmental spirit. Its purpose is to bring the sin to the attention of the offended person and restore them to fellowship with the Lord and the other believer. In this passage, this refers to sin that could pull that person or others away from God and result in a horrible judgment. Listen to what he went on to say. When a person feels that he or she must rebuke another Christian for a sin, it is wise and essential for that person to check his or her attitude and motivation first. His attitude and his... Why are you even going to rebuke him? You know, a lot of times you just need to throw your pacifier away and suck it up and go on. Can I just say it that way? I ain't going to be as bold as Josh Jenkins was and take a pacifier to the pulpit and say, some of y'all need to throw this away. Did I call you out on that right then? Well, I'm telling you, that's what needs to happen a lot of times. A lot of times you just need to get your feelings off your shoulder. I'm just being real with you. You need to get your feelings off your shoulder. A lot of time, amen. Think about this. Why are you doing it? What is your attitude? What is your approach? Why are you even doing it? Are you doing it just to call them out? Are you doing it to try to bring some kind of retaliation towards them? Are you doing it just to judge them? Why are you even doing it? He goes on to say this: when a person feels that he or she must rebuke another Christian for a sin, it is wise and essential for the person to check his or her attitude and motivation first. Y'all didn't know I could read that fast. He needs to take a good look at himself to make sure there are no faults in his own life that he has not made right with God or other people. We are to make sure that there is not a log or a beam in our own eye before we remove the splinter or mote in our brother's eye. Boy, how true that is. You say, preacher, why is this necessary? Because it's obedience to God's word. What did he say in Matthew? He said this, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Why is this necessary? Because it's obedience to God's word. Why is this necessary? To establish the facts. You may discover that nothing was meant by it at all to begin with, that it was a complete misunderstanding. Many people remain bitter for years over misunderstandings when one act of biblical obedience could have prevented the entire conflict. When one act of biblical, what is that biblical obedience? Rebuke him. Go to him in love. Sit down and talk to him. So what is our obligation? Well, our obligation is to rebuke, but then watch this. Our obligation is to forgive. The first one's rebuke. Look at the verse again in verse number 3. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, what did the Bible say? Forgive him. You know what you're supposed to do according to the Bible? You forgive him. You forgive him. I thought about this. Here's some excuses that we often come up with not to forgive. Here's some of them. They aren't showing fruits of repentance. I just don't see no fruits of repentance. Listen to what Jesus says. If he says, I repent, forgive him. We're not appointed judges of repentance. What we must remember is fruit takes time to grow. Hope you caught what I just said. Fruit takes time to grow. We don't hold it over their head. We don't shadow their growth. You know what we do? Church, it's what we do. We forgive them. It's our obligation to rebuke them and then to forgive them. He said, sometimes our excuse is, well, you don't show fruit. Sometimes our excuse is, I don't feel like forgiving. Well, whenever you look, and I'm not going to take time to go in to verse 7 through 10, like a servant who is tired yet still obeys, we forgive. Why? Because Christ is our master, not because it feels easy. I just don't feel like forgiving. Well, it's not about our feelings. It's not about what we want. It's about what He wants. It's about dying to ourselves, arising anew in Him. It's about walking in Christian love and doing what the Bible commands us to do. That's forgiving. Forgiveness is not optional, emotional, or situational. It is an act of obedience to Christ. When offenses come, God does not ask us how we feel, but whether we will trust Him enough to do what He has commanded us to do. So you see, there's a purpose understanding forgiveness. There's a plan undertaking forgiveness, but then there's the problem. You say, what's the problem? That's underkeeping forgiveness. In other words, doing it. Doing it. I've showed you everything that the Bible says, but can I say this to you? Or can I ask you this? Are we growing in that? Are we undertaking forgiveness? Are we keeping that discipline in our life? I'll show you two things here and then we'll go home. By promising, how do we undertake forgiveness? How do we make this happen? Well, I can say this, by promising not to bring it up to that person again. Not to bring it up to them. Not to bring it up to the person. Not to bring it up behind the person. I was listening to a message the other day by Dr. Seitler, and Dr. Harold Seitler, what a great preacher he was. But he said this, he said, if you continually talk about the problem, you've never forgiven the person. If you continually bring it up, you've never truly forgiven. Can I say this to you? We gotta make a covenant to ourselves. We gotta make a promise. Hey, I'm not gonna bring it back up to the person. I'm not gonna bring it back up behind the person, and not to bring it back up in our minds and dwell on it anymore. What did the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10? He said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing thoughts into captivity. What do? We surrender, or we sacrifice those thoughts to God. We renew our mind in Him. We don't think of those hurtful things of the past, but whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Now I need to go on and on with that passage. He said, think on these things. That's what we think on. Well, by promising, and then watch this, by refusal. Refusal to forgive is a decision to pursue revenge. Refusal to forgive. You've got to make up your mind, I am going to forgive. You know, Miss Daniel, if you'll come start playing song. I thought about the story of Joseph. You that knows your Bible knows the story that I'm talking about. I thought about the story of Joseph. In Genesis 50, verse number 19, he said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. If anyone had a reason to withhold forgiveness, it was Joseph. Man, when you study his life, the way his brothers done, if anybody had a reason to refuse, it was Joseph. But what we must remember is that our circumstances, if you ain't heard nothing else I've said tonight, listen to me right here. What we must remember is that our circumstances never override Scripture. I hope you caught what I just said, because I hate to say it, because I'm the one that said it, but I'm going to say it. It's very deep and profound. Our circumstances never override Scripture. You don't know what they done to me. I hate to brag, but I've read it from the front to the back, and I can't find that. I can't find that. Well, preacher, you don't know how they treated me. I Brother Josh, I've read all of it several times, and I can't find that in there. You don't know what they said about me. Well, you know what? The truth of the matter is this. It don't matter what they said about you. It don't matter what they done to you. They plucked the beard from Jesus' face. They smote Him. They put a crown of thorns upon His head and took a reed and drove it down off of Him, or drove it down on Him. They stripped Him of His clothes and hung Him on a cross and spit upon Him. And He said, Father, forgive them. Your circumstances never override Scripture. And that Scripture says it don't matter what they've done, that we forgive them. That we forgive them. Unforgiveness is not a natural ground. It places us in the role of judge and denies God His rightful place. Growth in forgiveness is proven not by what we say, but by what we refuse to repeat, relive, and retaliate over. I want to say that to you again. Unforgiveness is not a natural ground. It places us in the role of judge and denies God His rightful place. Growth in forgiveness is proven not by what we say, but by what we refuse to repeat, what we refuse to relive, and what we refuse to retaliate over. Let me tell you what's essential for spiritual growth: forgiveness. Let me tell you what separates a lot of good Christians from great Christians: forgiveness. Forgiveness. For years, I struggled with it. I really did. I struggled. Matter of fact, I'm hesitant to say this, but I'm going to. Victoria, the other two girls played instruments, and Victoria, for some reason this year, she took instruments, she took fiddle, she took piano, and just never done it and never took off with it, and just, okay, I'll go if you want me to. Matter of fact, one of the reasons she didn't want to stop taking piano is just because she liked to go see Brother Matt's mom and talk to her. And we'll go eat with her. We'll go say, I'd take you by to see her. There ain't no need in paying all this money for you just to go hang out with Miss Susan. And so this year she decided, I want to play basketball. And I said, okay, well, we'll try. And we've had a ball. We've had a ball. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to cry at the end of season. We've just had a ball. It's been time that we've spent together and laughed together, and we just had a good time. The other night, I sent her main coach and her assistant coach. Both of them go to Freedom Baptist Church. If I called her names, a lot of them, you know them. Both of them go to Freedom Baptist Church in Rue Hall. Faithful, hold positions in the church. It's good Christian ladies. I sent them both a message, and here's what I said to them. I said, I'm not going to quote it verbatim, but the gist of it is, Victoria's grown up in a pastor's home. That's all she knows. And one thing that all three of my girls have struggled with down through the years is counterfeit Christianity. People that says they're one thing, but, Russ Stan, they're just right the opposite of it. And they act one way at church, but boy, if you ever get them in a tight spot or in a different situation, you just see a whole different person. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, so it's okay to say amen. It's just a whole different person. And I said, I just want to thank you for being real. And I want to thank you that my kid played for somebody this year that was the same coaching as they was singing in church. There was the same at practice as they was in revival at church. I just want to thank you for being real. Preachers' kids struggle with hypocrites and counterfeit Christians. They see their parents pour into people for them to turn their back on them and tuck, tail, and run the other way. Matter of fact, Proverbs said this: the heathen runs when no man's approaching him, no man's chasing him. I'm not quoting that verbatim. You know what he said? He said the heathen runs when nobody's after him. Just think about it. The heathen runs. Not the spiritual man. The heathen runs when nobody's after him. Brother Jonathan, they struggle. You grew up in a preacher's home. You know what I'm talking about. And for years, I struggled with forgiveness. I'd see people. Boy, my blood pressure would go out the roof. I'd walk up to them. I'd halfway talk to them and walk off. And I started praying, Miss Vicki, God, help me forgive like you've forgiven me. And my wife, whether she'll agree with me or not now, I think she will, though, would tell you that I've come to a place in my life where life's too short, God's too good, God's blessed me too much, God showed me too much grace for me to sit around and harbor a spirit of unforgiveness in my life. There's a lot of people that's never said, I'm sorry. But you know what I do when I see them? Brother Payton, I'll walk up to them. I'll shake their hand. I'll hug their neck. If they're in a restaurant and I can slip by and grab their ticket, I'll get their ticket and pay for their meal. Let me tell you the reason why, whether they ever ask me to forgive them or not. God's been too good to me. God's blessed me too much. Forgiveness is something that He commands us. It's not optional tonight. It's not optional. When you choose not to forgive, you choose to blatantly go against the Word of God. You might as well lay the Bible down and walk over it or walk on it. Because that's what you do. He commands it. I wrote this down this afternoon. The older I get, the more I have to write things down. But I wrote this down. Today, the Holy Spirit may not be pointing out what someone else did to you, but what you've been carrying because of it. You may be forgiven by God, yet still bound by an offense you refuse to release. Forgiveness is not saying the hurt didn't matter, but it's saying that Christ matters more. If there is a name, a face, or a memory that the Spirit keeps bringing to your heart, this is your moment to lay it down. Freedom does not come when others change. It comes when we obey. If God has forgiven you, He is now inviting you to walk in the same forgiveness towards others starting tonight. But the question is this: will you? Will you? Forgiveness.